Iowa Democrats are reeling. It's only been 7 months since the November 2016 elections, and the consequences at the state legislature are significant. We sit down with a pair of up-and-coming legislative Democrats to discuss their party's future. It's Senator Nate Bolton and Representative Abby Finkenauer on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com.
UIE Care is helping provide access to healthcare services to more Iowans. By offering online visits with a University of Iowa healthcare provider, UIE Care helps Iowans seek medical care without leaving home. Learn more at uiecare.com.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, April 28 edition of Iowa Press. Here is David Yepsen.
The American electoral pendulum can cause havoc for either political party. For Democrats, still reeling from the 2016 elections, many are just coming to grips with the phrase President Trump, while others have an equally daunting reality in that the Iowa legislative trifecta, both U.S. senators and three out of four of our U.S. congressmen, are all seats controlled by Republicans. For Democrats, perhaps the best message is nowhere to go but up. And after an historic legislative session for Republicans, the Democratic base could be stirring. Well, we'll discuss this stark political reality with a pair of Iowa legislators here for their first appearance on Iowa Press. Senator Nate Bolton of Des Moines and Representative Abby Finkenauer of Dubuque. Thank you both for coming in and being with us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
I hope you recovered from the session. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Across the table, Kathy Obradovich is the political columnist for the Des Moines Register, and Kay Henderson is news director at Radio Iowa.
Representative Finkenauer, let's start with this question. What did Democrats accomplish in the just concluded legislative session?
Well, I will say this. We stood up for hardworking Iowans. When we saw everything the Republicans threw at us this year and threw at people that are my friends, my neighbors, and my family, from gutting workers' rights for 184,000 Iowans, from, you know, attacking workers' compensation, making it harder for hardworking Iowans who get hurt on the job to get the compensation they deserve, we stood up.
But other than haranguing, did you accomplish anything?
Well, we fought hard. That's what I'd like to say. You know, we showed what our agenda would have been. We put in bills that never saw the light of day. You know, that was one of the hardest things for me when I was first a legislator a couple of years ago, when we had really great ideas. I could walk across the aisle and say, what do you think of this for paid leave? What do you think of this? And, you know, we could have those conversations. You'd submit your bills, and then, you know, they would die in a subcommittee. So,
Senator Bolton, what do you think you accomplished in the Iowa Senate this year as Democrats?
Well, I think a lot of what Abby was saying is right on the point. We showed Iowans that we're still here. Mm-hmm. We may have had some losses this last election cycle, but Democrats are still here. We are still fighting. And I think we saw a great reaction to that. We saw thousands of people coming to the Capitol. We saw hundreds showing up at forums, getting reengaged. And we showed that we have a strong message, too.
One of the things I heard over and over at the Capitol was sort of a sense of shock that Republicans were going as far as they were on collective bargaining, on tort reform, on abortion, a lot of things that, in fact, Republicans have stood for a long time. And were you surprised, Senator Bolton, by their agenda?
I think everyone was surprised by their agenda and just how aggressively they went for it.
Why were you surprised?
I think the surprise was, if you look at what the message was in 2016, Republicans weren't out there saying, we're going to come out and gut collective bargaining rights, we're going to gut workers' compensation. Those weren't the things they were talking about. When they got to the Capitol and had a majority in the House, a majority in the Senate, and the Branstad Reynolds administration working with them, they went after those things not only in a moderate way, not in a tweaking way, but really decimating people's rights. And I think that was the surprise.
Representative Finkenauer, this anti-union planks on the Republican platform. They have been a party trying to outlaw abortion for a long time. Part of me doesn't really understand why Democrats would have been caught off guard that this was their agenda at the State House.
And I don't know if it was so much Democrats being caught off guard as, the electorate. What they were fed by Republican lawmakers and people running for office this last cycle was that they cared about education, that they cared about workers. And, I watched Iowa Press when Dave Gross was on here. And Doug Gross, when, he was talking about just the election and what he hoped to see for this session. And he said, well, I hope Republicans don't get ran over by their own headlights. Not only are they getting run over by their own headlights, they're running over working families with them. And, that's something we were, we're still fighting back against. Am I surprised they did it? No, but I'm sure and I know a lot of Republicans that voted for them are surprised they did it.
One of the postmortems about the presidential election was that making the election about how bad Donald Trump was not beneficial for Hillary Clinton. As a Democrat, Senator Bolton, what are you going to offer voters as to the positive agenda rather than Republicans rather did bad things?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. When Democrats win, it's with a message that is positive and uplifting. And I think certainly there's an opportunity for us to deliver that message. Yeah, we stood against some bad things that held back working Iowans that I think in the long term will actually lower the quality of life in Iowa. But then we deliver that message that comes forward of what can we do? What can Iowa look like if we actually do fully fund education, if we actually do offer the most educated, skilled, productive workforce for the next generation of our economy? And that's, I think, exactly what we want to do.
Is that a new idea? Democrats have been promising to support educators and the education community for many election cycles here. What sort of new ideas are coming out of the Democratic Party and Democratic legislators?
Well, I think that's part of the contrast that we're going to have from what we saw play out this legislative session. Democrats have been talking about the need to fully fund education. We haven't been able to do it because of a Republican House and a Republican administration. So now that we see when Republicans have control of the House, Senate, and governor's office, what is not being done, and then now we can offer that clear contrast of what Iowa can be.
Representative Finkenauer, one thing that Republicans at the national level have learned is if you promise to roll back things that the other party did, I'm thinking about Obamacare, mm-hmm. and you don't get it done, voters are very unhappy. Is there a danger for Democrats to promise to undo the collective bargaining law that Republicans passed, to undo the workers' comp changes that were made, that you could fall into that same trap as a Democratic Party at the state level?
No, I think what we need to be focused on as Democrats is how do we make it better? How do we move forward? And, one of the things we absolutely can be focused on right now is raising wages in the state. Our wages are just abysmally low compared to other states. I have friends who have moved away who are 28, 29. They graduated college. They live in Denver. They live in Chicago and would love more than anything to come home to Iowa right now. And they're looking at those help wanted sites every single day. And our wages, I'm not just talking minimum wage. It's all of our wages are very low. And yes, our cost of living is lower here, but it still doesn't make up for that. So it's one of those things we have to start talking about raising those wages and how do we move forward on that end as well, and then taking care of our workers in that way. But yeah, at the same time, that collective bargaining bill was done in a bipartisan way. And, it was one of the best pieces of legislation we had because it helped not just workers, but it helped management as well. They, you know, they wanted it.
When it passed in the 70s, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to require bipartisan, you know, people working together again and getting things done for the state of Iowa. And if anything, what we saw this last session, bipartisanship on the side of the Republicans is slowly, well, you know, it's going away. There's not much there.
Some of the rhetoric I've heard from Democrats, though, is the idea that Republicans have defeated themselves, mm-hmm. you know, by, as you said, overdriving their headlights and going too far, you know, upsetting the sort of Iowans who expect incremental, you know, modest change from the legislature. I mean, do you feel like there's some sense of that in the Democratic Party, that you can just sit back and let Republicans kind of tie themselves up into a ball?
No. Because if anything, what we've seen, you know, I grew up and I was told, you know, when there's work to be done, you say yes and you do it. And after this legislative session, it is clear there is so much work to be done for the state of Iowa. So the last thing I plan on doing is sitting back and watching it. You know, we have to be involved. We have to be figuring out not just how do we fix what they just did to us, but how do we move forward and make the state a better place?
You know, Senator Bolton, what we see in Washington is a lot of continued dysfunction, and that the Republican majority there is still working against each other. They are not advancing President Trump's agenda. Why do you think it was so different here in Iowa that, you know, they were able to write off all of these accomplishments on the Republican side so quickly?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how they were able to keep everyone in line for all these votes, which I think we're gonna see will be some very hard votes to be taken for a lot of these Republicans in swing districts that appeared in the Iowa House and Iowa Senate for the first time this session. But they were able to do it. But I think in the long term, it's not going to be a good thing for the Republican Party.
I want to put a finer point on the question asked earlier here about what specific sorts of things Democrats are going to be doing and saying to offer to voters. Senator, okay, we get that you want higher wages. Okay, everybody's for that. We get that you'd like to return that collective bargaining law to what it was. But are there specific ways you go about increasing wages?
Well, I think we look at a very different economic plan for Iowa's future. Right now, we look at the biggest growing item of our general fund being essentially tax credits and exemptions. They're costing the state millions of dollars. That's short-term economic planning. That is, we are becoming the lowest bidder trying to attract employers to our state. What's made Iowa stand out in the past is that most educated, productive, skilled workforce. That's our long-term vision for the state, growing our state by having a quality education system that's producing skilled workers for the next generation and offering a quality of life that has quality employers wanting to come to Iowa. And that starts with infrastructure. I'd rather see us spending money on actual projects that help rebuild rural Iowa and get that economy going for long term than giveaways for corporations that are here for the short term.
Okay, everybody's against giveaways for corporations. I mean, even Republicans are talking about that way. But it's when you get in under the weeds and start looking at a specific list of those. Mm-hmm. Senator, do you want to take away a research and development tax credit to John Deere and Company?
Well,
you know, those are guys that are creating some good jobs. Well, maybe we don't want to do that. How do you go down through that laundry list and pick off those credits that you think are bad?
Well, and I think that's, again, part of the long-term plan. I don't think you can shut them off instantly and get rid of them. But I think we have to look at how we cap them and what qualifications we allow for people to get these credits. And I think we have to start saying we want verification that these things are actually turning into jobs. No more, we will just send out a check and hope for the best.
Representative Finkenauer, beyond the tax credit issue, Republicans have made clear that tax reform will be priority one for 2018. How will Democrats approach that debate? Because if you ask Iowans, would you like your taxes lowered? I think the general answer is yes.
Yeah. So one thing I would actually like to see us do, and I know Democrats have tried to do this before, so our income tax looks a lot higher than the state than it actually is, because you can deduct your federal income tax from that. So I'd like to see reform there and even that up again. And we have to look at what do our revenues look like going forward, and how do we make sure that, you know, the money that we are taking in is spent appropriately, and then at the same time that it's the working families, the ones who are working those 40 hours a week or more, some working, you know, on the weekends as well, how are they being affected by everything that we're doing and making sure that, you know, they have the resources that they need and are getting the best bang for their buck? And
do you think it's possible that there could be a bipartisan tax cut approved next year? Or are you looking at the state budget and the economy and saying, you know, where is that money going to go? We can't afford it.
Yeah, you know, I'm hopeful. I hope we do something. Like I said, that getting rid of that, lowering the state income tax, and then getting rid of the federal deductibility out of that would be helpful. That's something we should actually do. And then moving forward, it'll depend on what we see, because honestly, every time I look at a tax cut, whether that be on the federal level or the state level, I look at how it's going to affect my friends and neighbors. And the ones that I have seen so far are ones that, you know, are the big business cuts. They're not the ones that are actually going to help the people that I know that are sitting there trying to pay their mortgage off. So that's really going to be the litmus test for me.
Well,
and
Senator
what we
Bolton, do we have a revenue problem in Iowa? I mean, are you willing to see actually a net increase in revenue that's being raised in various taxes or fees?
Well, I think we have started to create a very severe revenue problem by some of the cuts we saw in the appropriations process this year. I think some of the things that we cut are things that actually generate revenue for our state, and that's going to result in bigger problems as we move forward. So I'm very concerned about that.
And then, such as the Planned Parenthood.
So Planned Parenthood, it's going to be a very expensive thing for us to, if we're going to try to maintain the same level of reproductive health care services, to replace a network that was out there working with something brand new. I think it's going to be very hard to maintain any kind of level of service without making it very expensive for Iowa taxpayers.
Senator, everyone tosses around the word reform. And mm-hmm. My experience is it's reform if you're not getting the shaft, and if you are, then it's not reform. I mean, Pete, that word gets thrown around. Even Republicans today are playing around with a plan to do away with federal deductibility. That's a big change for them. They're even looking at willing to look at some of these credits. What should in the course of tax reform, should the state of Iowa try to take less from taxpayers, in other words, a tax cut, or should we do a reform that's revenue neutral?
Well, right now, I think we can do a reform that hopefully is revenue neutral, which also gets after, again, a lot of the exemptions and a lot of loopholes. If we can simplify our tax collection process and make it better, that's going to help us for the long term. We aren't in a dramatic economic crisis right now in terms of revenue. We just need to reel back a little bit to make that work.
I want to shift gears. It's never an official Iowa Press show unless we talk some politics. So both of you are being touted for and thinking about running for higher office. Representative Finkenauer, are there talk about running for Congress up there in Northeast Iowa? Are you going to go for it, or where are you in that thinking?
Well, I've been saying, you know, for the last few months now that I want to get done with session, and I wanted to be able to get home, talk to my friends, talk to my family, and I've been able to do that on the weekends at some point, but you'll probably be seeing, you know, more, you know, in a definite decision in the next week or so.
Senator, what are your plans?
Well, you know what? I've been approached by a lot of people. Frankly, I've been very honored to be put out in front on some of these major fights this year by my Senate colleagues and entrusted with some major lifts in this legislative session. I've been talking with people, and it's a big decision, and I hope
it's about running for governor.
About running for anything, but you know, I talk to my family, I talk to the people that I work with, talk to my community members, and hopefully we'll get to a decision soon.
What's your assessment of the health of the Democratic Party? I mean, there's no escaping the fact that the party got its lunch handed to it in 2016. So where do you feel the party is in the process of picking up the pieces right now?
Well, I think there were some lessons from 2016. Number one, people want to be excited about a message. And it was very unclear for a lot of Democrats what that, if I knock on my neighbor's door, what is the message this year for electing a Democrat? So we've got to embrace that message, and I think this legislative session handed it to us. It's about an economic vision for our state that is long-term and improves the quality of life in Iowa.
What's more important, though, that people can be excited by the message, or the, do they really need to be excited by the messenger? And, you know, I mean, I'm not hearing huge changes in the message from Iowa Democrats, Representative Finkenauer. But, you know, is it more about the messenger?
I think it's a combination. I think people want to see somebody running for office who looks like them, talks like them, and understands what their life is like. And so when you are, you know, when I'm thinking about running right now, you know, I go home and I talk to my friends, I talk to my family. And again, these are the ones that are just struggling to make their mortgage payments if they're lucky enough to have one. You know, I know people that can't even afford to buy a house right now because they can't afford a mortgage, so that they're renting their homes. This is happening not just in the cities and towns, but rural Iowa as well. And, you know, they want to have somebody who gets what that's like in a very real way, not just somebody who gets online and tweets about it, but somebody who actually, you know, doesn't just say what it's like, but understands what their life is actually like.
You know, I want to go back to this question of what's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just that Hillary Clinton was a bad candidate? I mean, there's a new book out called Shattered that just says she was a bad candidate, ran an incompetent campaign, didn't go to Wisconsin. Lots of mistakes that are starting to be talked about. Why did she lose, Senator?
You know what? I think if the Democratic Party is going to succeed, we cannot keep relitigating the 2016 election and the 2016 presidential preference
caucuses.
Senator,
that's a, I mean,
and I really
question.
Believe that.
I mean, you've got to do a postmortem on what went wrong.
And I think we've been doing it, and we've been doing it, and we've been doing it. I think at some point we have to get past that conversation. So I just want to preface my answer with that, because I think that that is too much of the attention. That said, I think there were a lot of things we can look back on and say, you know, this part of the campaign should have been run differently. When we look at Senate campaigns, you know, I think we probably spent too much time, you know, putting stuff into people's mailboxes and not directly interacting with them.
Representative,
I think there were a lot of opportunities.
What's your take on why Hillary Clinton lost?
And you know what? I look at that and I look at, why did Democrats lose Iowa? Why did we lose Wisconsin, right? And I think it has a lot less to do with Hillary Clinton than it does about the fact that we had a national message saying that, you know, everything's great. We know we have great job numbers. Everything's great. Yeah, so Obama did a great job in terms of job numbers, all of that. Great. However, Iowa had been controlled by Republicans for the last 6 years. Wisconsin has been controlled by Republicans. So we haven't seen a minimum wage increase since when I was in high school, when I was a speaker's page sitting there when they raised the minimum wage. Life is tough for Iowans. It hasn't gotten any better. So
and
when
so
you
they
have that
Republicans
dichotomy.
Republicans to solve that. What new are you going to offer those formerly Democratic voters? Look at Dubuque County. Surprise, surprise, Donald Trump did very well there. So what do you need to do to change the ingredients for your soup to make them want to eat it again?
Absolutely. It's the local message. It's the Iowa message. It's not the national message. It's not, you know, somebody saying it's working for the entire country. It's about what's working for Iowa. And the fact is, like we have seen the last 6 years, Republican message, the Republican policies are not working for Iowans. So when we can sit down and we can talk about that and say, yeah, I know you're struggling. Yeah, I know you're hurting. And yeah, I know your wages are low, not just the ones making a minimum wage. All of your wages are low. We have to address it that way.
When you look at the future of the Democratic Party, people say, well, the demographics of the country are changing. You know, younger people are, you know, they're more socially progressive. The growing aspect of our population is minorities.
Yeah.
So do you feel like this is a bump in the road and that Democrats really just sort of have to wait for the country to catch up?
No. I mean, it's like the question before, are we just going to sit back and watch what Republicans are doing and not do anything about it? No, that's not the answer. It's, you know, keep having those tough conversations with our friends and families who might have voted Republican in the last election. And I have had those conversations, and they're frustrated and they're hurt and they feel duped.
Senator Bolton, in Iowa, there's talk about sort of the anti-Des Moines bias. You know, we have rural areas have gone for Trump. The urban areas have been more Democratic. But it's sort of also like the rest of the state against Des Moines. You're from Des Moines. You want to have a bright political future in Iowa. What do you do to address that?
Well, first of all, I grew up in Columbus Junction, so came to Des Moines after college and law school. But, you know, I don't know that Donald Trump checked a lot of boxes for rural Iowans of he gets me because he's from rural upstate New York. No, he's from Manhattan. He's a billionaire. It's about message, and it's about getting an effective message out there that people believe in.
There's also sort of an anti-lawyer vibe. You know, some of the, I have to say, the legislative session sort of underscored that with their tort legislation. They're trying to take work away from lawyers. Is that also a sort of a hurdle for you to overcome?
You know, I think when we talk about my law practice, the people I've represented, working Iowans across the state, they're the people that need an advocate right now.
But I gather you're going to talk more about growing up in Columbus Junction than being a lawyer in Des Moines. Is that correct?
We'll see what happens.
Representative Finkenauer, you have said you're going to make a decision in a week.
Yeah.
Is it because of fundraising? Do you not yet have a message? Why aren't you making that decision and then announcement right here, right now?
Well, like I said, I just really want more time to talk to my friends and family. And, you know, we had a long session. It's time to just, honestly, I want to go fishing with my dad in the back and my dad's backyard.
Are Republicans the one breaking the glass ceiling in this state? Senator Ernst, you're going to have a first woman governor. Aren't Democrats a little behind the curve in breaking the glass ceiling?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, I really did think I was going to wake up that day after the election and Monica Vernon was going to be my congresswoman. And when I realized that not only was she not going to be my congresswoman, Donald Trump was going to be my president, you know, I knew that there was a lot of work for women in Iowa that we had to do because, you know, I'm not somebody who just votes for women because they're women or would ever ask someone to do that for me. You know, I support women because if they're advocates for women and families.
30 seconds, Kathy.
How big is the Democrats' tent right now? Are you willing to accept, for example, pro-life Democrats up in Representative Finkenauer's neck of the woods in order to win some of these districts back?
We had Senator Joe Tsang, who was a pro-life Democrat in the Iowa Senate, so I don't think it's ancient history to have pro-life Democrats taking active roles in our state.
Senator, Representative, thank you both for being with
thank
us today.
You.
We're out of time.
Thank
Look
you.
Look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
That wraps up this edition of Iowa Press and our current season on Iowa Public Television. We'll be back this fall to cover the latest issues across Iowa, but until then, stay tuned to the many in-depth public affairs programs on this network. For all of us here at Iowa Public Television, I'm David Yepsen, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com.
UIE Care is helping provide access to healthcare services to more Iowans. By offering online visits with a University of Iowa healthcare provider, UIE Care helps Iowans seek medical care without leaving home. Learn more at uiecare.com.